Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate the Lord's mercy and His presence today. I believe He means to encourage us always, of course. And I certainly am in need of it. I know that we all are in one way or another. And it seems like this is one service more than any other, or more than usual, when I feel like I'm in greater need of what I've had on my mind than I feel like most of you probably are. But, you know, imagine that. We all have needs. We all need the Lord to work in us. But I appreciate so much that's been said this morning. I'll just mention, you know, what I appreciate what Kendall shared, and just give you the scripture that applies to that. Despise not prophesyings, but prove all things and hold fast that which is good. So always the thing is to have an open spirit, but to seek God and to say, Lord, we just want to hear from You and You alone. And you are able to give us that wisdom and that discernment. But certainly an encouragement to seek the Lord is always in order, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Anyway, I had a scripture come to me earlier in the week, and it's come back a few times, and I've thought about it, and it seems like every time I tried to focus on it, it just kind of, you know, the Lord didn't let me sit there and get it organized. But anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and start and trust the Lord to make something out of this. But anyway, Paul was writing to Timothy late in his ministry. Timothy was a young man who had been saved and raised up under Paul's ministry, and God had specifically given him a gift, and it was by prophetic laying on of hands. He was given a gift, and he was often the one that was sent by Paul to go help somebody where Paul couldn't get there. And so, but now Paul is getting later in his ministry, later in his life, and he's thinking about the future too. And so that plays into this. And so Paul is wanting to give him instruction that will keep him on course. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of what Reed said is stuff that I would have to echo. It's awful easy for us to get in a rut, get in form, think everything's, you know, just all we have to do is just keep doing what we're doing, everything's cool. And that's not the way it is in God. And that's the quickest way to slide backwards. Because the truth is, if we're not going forward, we're not just sitting still, we're sliding backwards in many ways. And I believe the Lord has so much more for us, and that's what He's concerned about here. And so the verse that came to me is one we're all familiar with. In fact, I doubt I'm going to say anything you haven't heard many times, but I suspect that we need it. Anyway, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is beginning to wind up his letter of instruction to Timothy. And in verse 12, he says this, "Fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." All right, so obviously this young man had, when he was young, he came to the Lord and everybody witnessed this. But now there's an instruction to him. Now, you know, in the first place, it sounds a little kind of crazy, because don't we get eternal life when we come to the Lord? I mean, the answer is yes. If we're born again, if we're truly born again of His Spirit, not just a religious profession, not something just that's purely religious or self-effort, but if this is a time when God brings us to that point and He imparts His Spirit to us, we have eternal life. And there is a life that cannot perish. But here He's saying, lay hold. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Now, also, is eternal life a gift or not? Yeah, it's a gift. Well, how do you fit that together with having to fight for it? You know, I believe God wants to give us a deeper picture of what it means to serve Him. And Timothy needed to have a fresh reminder. Evidently, the Lord wanted to remind Timothy, but because this was recorded for us, it was recorded for me this morning. How about you? In the first place, I think we know, if we're honest, that the Christian life is a fight. God has absolutely put us in a place where if we're going to serve him in a world that hates him, the spirit of this world is against him, things we've said many times, but it's worse than that, that every part of my natural being, my body, this body I got to live with until he, praise God for what happened to Jackie today, she's free. How many of you, you know, wish you could take her place in a way? But yet God has got us here. And so part of his order is that we learn to lay hold of what he has given to us, and we learn to not just receive it and then, okay, I just stick a ticket to heaven in my back pocket and go on about my life. But there are things that God wants us to be able to take hold of. And, you know, I thought about so many ways, and this is going to come across certainly as unorganized, and that's all right. But you think about the picture we have of somebody who has inherited a tremendous amount of money. I was going to say $1 million. That's not so much anymore. But anyway, let's suppose someone inherits $1 million. But suppose it's locked away in the bank somewhere. And they sit there and they rejoice in their riches and how wonderful it is. But they live homeless. You know, there's people like that in this crazy world. But I wonder if we're honest how much we're like that. You know, how many times does the Lord emphasize that he has given us everything? He who spared not his own son but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? But I wonder how many of those all things we actually walk in and experience in a practical sense. And the reality is we can fall into exactly what Reed was talking about, where we just get complacent. We get involved in whatever earthly activities we have. The truth of the matter is we are far more in harmony and in contact, I should say, with the world than we realize. And it affects us more than we realize. And here's the Lord looking down and knowing all of this, you know, what's a God to do? When he sees us in the condition that we're in, he's got to do something if he's going to fulfill his plan. He longs to share all of these, the riches of glory with us. But here we are without realizing it many times. We're just bopping along, leaning on human wisdom, human energy, more in harmony with what the world says and how we feel. You know, it's an endless list. You know what Billy just shared is absolutely part of it, because there are times when in the wisdom of God, he wants us to wait on him. Well, there's a fight involved in that, because we don't want to wait. We don't want to have to persist in believing God in the face of the absence of a seeming answer to a situation. The devil is going to sit there and plop all kinds of junk in our heads about it, and we're going to lean upon our own experience, which may include all kinds of things that aren't from God. We're going to feel our weaknesses. We're going to feel bad physically. There's a million and one things that absolutely get in our way when we're trying to serve God. And if we're going to make any progress, we're going to have to fight. Now, you know, we're very familiar with the scripture that Paul gives us about our warfare not being with flesh and blood and so forth. And he lists all the articles of armor, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate and so forth, all of those elements of armor. Have any of you noticed that most of that is defensive? Yeah. See, in other words, he's saying, I got all the protection you're going to need, so just... But the Christian life is not meant to be one of hunkering down and, you know, being like a turtle. Danger is coming. Or run to our cave or anything like that. We are meant to live real practical lives in which we need what he has. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy to lay hold of things. And, you know... There certainly are two very different extremes, many of them probably, but one of them certainly is the one where I'm saved, I got the ticket in my back pocket, and then, you know, life is life, and we're just going to live it and go to heaven one day. You know, surely we know the Lord has more for us than that. He means for us to grow up in our faith and to lay hold of a lot of things. But of course, you got folks on the other end who think it's all about miracles. It's all about, you know, some grand thing. And God wants us to live, wants to give us a cushy life. Well, somewhere in the middle there, God has awesome things for us. He wants his body to grow up. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit. He wants us to have heavenly abilities that we use in harmony with him and in harmony with the body of Christ. All of those things are real. But how do we get there? And the truth of the matter is, most of us are so, you know, hanging on for our dear life much of the time, just trying to get through and deal with our own little issues. And half the time, we're not even dealing with them. We're just sort of, well, that's just the way it is. You know, it's all taken care of. God's merciful. I'm glad for all of those truths, aren't you? But how many of you think the Lord just wants us to sort of give in, go along, sing the songs, do what we're supposed to do, go through the motions? Or how many of you think that God wants us to actually possess the things? You remember there's a King James translation of one of the Old Testament prophets. It spoke of a time when God's people would possess their possessions. And again, doesn't that sound like a contradiction in terms? If it's my possession, how could I not possess it? But the reality is, we don't possess but a small fraction of what God has given to us, what he has promised us. And here is Paul feeling the need to tell Timothy, you need to fight. You've got a fight on your hands, and it's not just defensive. I don't want you to be a turtle. There are things that God wants to do in you, yes, but through you. And he wants you to learn how to lay hold of that for which, you know, without which you cannot do those things. Did not Jesus say in the parable of the, praise God, help me, the vine and the branches, John 15. Like I said, this is not organized. John 15, and he spoke of the relationship of how dependent we are, that the only way we can produce fruit is literally to be connected to him, right? In other words, what I need to produce fruit doesn't come from me. It's not there. Without me, he says, you can do what?
Nothing.
Man, we need to get a hold of that and realize that. But at the same time, we don't need to be discouraged by that and say, oh, well, I guess there's nothing I can do then. Because God wants us to be plugged in such a way that the life of God literally flows in. I need life that I don't have. It's out there. Praise God. Just like my physical body. What would happen if I just stopped eating and drinking? See, this nourishment that I need to sustain this. Some of us sustain it a little too well. No, I didn't say that, did I? Praise God. I'm glad the Lord has a sense of humor. Like I say, he's got to. He made you and made me. What was I saying now? Praise the Lord. Yes, we need the nourishment. We need something that is designed to sustain this life. Well, I'll tell you, there's another kind of life, though, that we got from Adam. And it exists in these bodies and very, very closely tied to it. But there's a spiritual side to that, and boy, that gets nourished too, doesn't it? We're living in a world that is running as rapidly as it can away from God. I thank God that he has a people. I believe there is a harvest at the end of the age. Part of it is to get some ready for the fire, and part of it is to bring others into the kingdom. And I certainly want to be in harmony with whatever it is he wants to do. And boy, every natural part of me just wants to, you know, stick out my tongue and say, I'm tired. And I imagine, and everybody gets that way. Everybody deals with weariness. Everybody deals with discouragement. Everybody deals with opposition. But here's Paul saying, I don't want you to sit here and go into a defensive posture. I want you to absolutely lay hold of something, because God has called you to something. God has given you a job. Has not God given everybody a place in the body of that is a member of the body of Christ, a place? Doesn't he want to do stuff not just in you, but through you? How do we do that? First of all, is believing that that's the way it is and seeking him and looking to him. But there is a fighting to get that to happen. We're going to have to come against the opposition of this. We're going to have to come against the opposition of the devil. You know, I started to talk about how the life of Adam gets nourished by the spirit of the world. Didn't Paul say that we're to present our bodies, that living sacrifice, and allow ourselves to be transformed? How? By the renewing of our mind? All these things, the scriptures we've heard so many times, they all play together. But the picture that's painted here is not just of something where it's, you know, this little quiet thing where we just spend time with the Lord and everything is great and grand. There is a fight to it. Yes. Think about the conquest of the land of Canaan. You know, I believe Reed mentioned the wilderness, and many times we feel like that's where we're at, and maybe we are. Maybe we need to be, to learn his ways and learn how to trust him. But there comes a time when God says, I have given you the land. Oh, okay, Lord, we'll just move in. But it didn't work that way, did it? Everything that God had given them was something for which they had to fight. And even in their fighting, they didn't do it their own way. They had to seek God and look to God, and God gave them victories, told them how to fight, where to fight, and went with them in the battle. That's what I need. I mean, what good does it do for God to say, this is what I want you to do? Well, great. How am I going to do that? It's not in me to do any of the things that God has called me to do or be. I have got to go to him. You know, one thought I had was about all this was, it sounds exhausting. I've just got to fight. But you know the first thing that I need from the Lord when it comes to fighting? I need his strength to fight. You know what we've said so many times about commands and promises. Everything the Lord tells us to do is really a promise to help us do it if only we're willing. That's something to remember, isn't it? Everything God commands us to do is really a promise to help us do it if only we're willing. You know, the first thing many times is just to come and just look to the Lord and draw near to him and praise him and thank him, often in the face of opposition from within and from without. Think of what Paul went through to accomplish what God had given him. And it wasn't just the stuff out there he had to deal with. Paul had to deal with the same stuff in here that you and I do. This constant warfare, and yet this is what God has called us to do. Somehow, this is God's plan for growing up and developing the character of this new life that he's given to us. But boy, that life is like a stream from heaven. It's pictured in so many ways in the scriptures. The river of life is God, is a picture of God's life. How many of you need more of that? Yeah, I do too. I need his life. I need more of him in me, because then I can begin to think like he thinks. I can begin to act and react like he reacts and acts. And he can tell me to do stuff, and I'm not running ahead like Peter and figuring I can do it on my own. I know I need him. And I'm looking to him. There's this hand-in-glove relationship where there's this, you know, like Ricky has talked about in the past, this conversation, this sense of walking with him. Isn't that, Jesus is the perfect example. He didn't do anything based on human wisdom or human energy. He just simply depended on his Father, and his Father gave him everything he needed, and it was God's life manifest in him. If we're going to be anything to each other, if we're going to be anything to the world and to people that God wants to reach, it's not going to be us selling people on our religion. God help us. I don't want a religion that needs to be sold. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to be living in here in such a way that that's what they see. We need Him, don't we? Praise God. You know, I mentioned how so many of the things that people are seeking God in some circles are seeking God for are really kind of the same things that the world is after. The prosperity gospel is an example of that, where this is what God has for you if you'll just only believe Him. Well, I thank God that He can bless and He can minister, He can do all kinds of things in the natural realm. But listen, but back up a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's find out what Timothy was told to go after. And this comes in the context of people who thought that serving God meant they were going to get a lot of money. They thought gain was godliness. And he said, Paul said, content, godliness with contentment is great gain. Praise God. We can trust God in those areas. But here's one of those buts that comes, it begins in the context of that, or people who look, their focus in life is on what they can get here. But you, man of God, flee from all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Praise God. That sounds like, that's character stuff, isn't it? Think about how we live and react. Think about how many times, you know, something happens and you say something. Something comes out of your spirit. Is it Jesus? See, now it's quiet. How many of us could say that going through every day that all of our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, our reactions to things that happen, things that people say, things that people do, oh, it just comes, it flows right straight out of the heart of God. We never say a cross word, never have an evil, a bad thought, never get angry, never. You suppose we might need just a little bit more than we got? You think the Lord has more for us than where we're at right now? Well, here's Timothy, obviously well on in his ministry, and what is it that Paul's encouraging him to do, to seek? Pursue righteousness. Now, it's interesting, that word pursue, I looked a couple of these up just to see what they, you know, what the original word was. I don't even remember, I couldn't tell you what it is literally. But it's an interesting word in this respect. It's used in two very different senses. One of the uses is persecute. When Paul was Saul the Jew going around trying to arrest Christians and get a hold of them, there was a pursuit there, but it was a persecution. And literally it meant to pursue somebody. This is what my life is about. This is the conviction that motivates me to action. But now here is Paul using the same word to say there's something else you need to be pursuing. It needs to have that same conviction that drives us to action is what he's saying. Pursue this. It's the same word I believe that he uses in Philippians 3, the scripture we use so many times. I press forward. This is what I'm after. I pursue this one thing. I press. And again, you have this sense that there's opposition. May God give us the grace to constantly, instead of just settling, instead of saying where I'm at is okay, to recognize that God is at work to change us, and He's changing us so He can use us. How can we be what God has called us to be in this hour if we just sleepwalk through it and we accept where we're at right now? And we don't mind getting angry. We don't mind getting upset. We don't mind blowing off steam and thinking about this and all engrossed in that and just somehow disconnected from Him. When God is wanting us to say, wait a minute, I need Him. This is not what He has for me. You know, we're told in Galatians, don't walk in the flesh. And He gives us a whole list of characteristics that come out of this old nature. But rather, and many of these things that he's telling Timothy to seek right here come right straight off of that list. Love, joy, peace, self-control, all of these things, these qualities that only come from him. Yeah. Folks, I need that, don't you, this morning? Amen. And I had this sense as I was reading this the other day that God is well aware of our need. Aren't you glad He's patient with us? Oh, thank God. Does He have reason to be? He does with me. You're supposed to say yes. God is so patient. But here's God looking down on me and saying, yeah, He thinks He's doing good. He's not robbing any banks. He's not doing any gross thing. And, you know, He's mostly has a good spirit about things. But I see a need. I see areas where fleshly reactions, old nature thoughts and motivations keep cropping up. I've got to do something. Well, guess how He works? He's going to put you in a situation where that comes to the front. How many times have you been in a situation where maybe you have a tendency to blow off steam in certain circumstances? Well, guess what? Don't be surprised if God keeps putting you in that circumstance. And God does it. And yes, an enemy may be involved in that, but God does it. Why would He do something like that? You think maybe He wants us to react like Timothy was called to react? Say, wait a minute. This isn't the Lord. I've got a need here. And God has used this circumstance to make me aware of a need. Maybe I didn't even really think about it. I wasn't that aware of it, but God wants to do something in me. After all, He wants me to become like Jesus. How many of you are there? You know, we got a ways to go. We got things that God has for us. Does God have everything for us? Oh, we love to sing about it and assert it, but when it comes to literally living in the reality of what He has given to us, that's where the rubber meets the road, as we say. And God has a way of putting us in circumstances where we're gonna sink or swim. We're going to just give in to something and kind of be where we've stayed. The bondage is just going to go right on, and we're just going to, oh, me. Give in to self-pity and resentment and blaming somebody else. All the human reactions that we all have at one time or another. Instead of saying, oh, God, You have allowed me to see this need in me, but I know You have an answer. I know there's a throne where I can go. I know I didn't earn the right to go there, and You promised me that You would receive me with mercy. Well, that's what I need, Lord. I'm in a place where I need mercy. I can't come and say I deserve to come here. But Lord, You promised the mercy, but You promised the grace. I need the river of life to flow into me. I need divine strength that I do not possess, or I'm just going to keep on being what I'm being. How many of us have settled? How many of us have just settled for where we're at, really? In more ways than I want to admit. How many of you think that's what the Lord wants? How many of you think that's what Paul wanted for Timothy? Okay, Timothy, you've made it. You're successful now. You can go around and preach to people and encourage them and just go with the flow. Folks, the Christian life in one sense is a flow, but it's a flow against opposition. And in fact, it's swimming against the tide. Because this tide here is going to fight you every step of the way. The only way we can do it is divine life and divine strength. I need to lay hold of the eternal life. And that's the picture you get here. Paul says to pursue, and he gives a list of all these wonderful virtues that you and I lack naturally, but we need so much. Pursue that. That's what your life needs to be about. Remember when I was pursuing Christians because I thought I was serving God and arresting them, having them killed. But now I'm pursuing something else. I'm pressing forward. I see that there's something that I do not have, and I'm going to have to go against opposition in order to get that because I need it. It's not enough just to say it's there. Hallelujah, it's there. I need it. I need it. So pursue that and then fight. Again, there's that sense of opposition. Pursue and fight. But then he says, take hold. How much of what Christ died for is something that we possess? that we have literally said, that's mine. How many of you think that God wants us to seek Him about things and literally expect Him to answer and expect Him to give the grace? Can we not go to Him on the basis of His promises and say, Lord, You said? I think of times in the Scriptures. I didn't look these up, but it seems like I know Jehoshaphat, when they were faced with that terrible army that was coming against them, when they went to God, one of the things they said was, Lord, You said. Lord, You promised. And this is why we're coming to You. You see what's coming against us, but You promised. Well, God gave them a victory without even having to fight in that instance. And you think about shortly after the day of Pentecost, when the young church was, when Peter and John were arrested and beaten. And then they prayed. Boy, they didn't go on the defensive, did they? They said, Lord, you've allowed everything. Everything has happened according to Your will. They're going right back to the promises of the Old Testament of what God said He was going to do. Lord, You are in charge. We're looking to You. But it's not enough that just we sit here and, oh God, don't let them hurt us. They said, Lord, stretch forth Your hand. Stretch forth Your hand, and God came down and gave them power that they didn't have before. Lord, help us. Help me. I confess my weakness and my need this morning. Anybody else? You know, I believe that there's a God who will hear and answer prayer if we'll look to Him and pray and say, God, we need You. We are living in an age that will absolutely put Christians to sleep. Isn't that what Paul warned about in 1 Thessalonians? He's talking about the coming of the Lord and what it means for us, the catching away, and what it means for the world, the outpouring of wrath. But it talks about us not going to sleep. We don't sleep like they do. We need to be alive and awake and saying, Lord, You've got us here now for a reason. But we need You. We don't need to just fight a defensive battle. We don't need to just go to sleep and say, we've got it. We need to be saying, God, there's always something. That's what Paul said, isn't it, in Philippians? I haven't arrived. There's always something more that I need to lay hold of. And God was constantly putting battles in His way so that He could say, God, I need this. I see the need right here. I feel this enemy that wants to oppress me, and You've allowed him to oppress me, and here I am, I want to serve You. Oh God, I'm calling upon Your name. 2 Corinthians 10, is it? 12, somewhere in there. That testimony that he gave of how God showed him something. God put him in a place where all he could do was cry out to God. And there was a case where he had to do some waiting, wasn't it? That's what Billy said. He didn't get his answer the first time he prayed. He prayed three different seasons, I would say, and really called out to God. And finally, the Lord opened his eyes and said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he was in utter agreement. Thank You, Lord, that I'm weak. Thank You that I'm needy. How many of you can really be glad about that? I mean, we can say that. But how many of you are just glad that you can't do anything without the Lord? But it's the truth. But yet, what we can do with Him. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Whatever the Lord puts in front of you and me, He wants us to fight through whatever would oppose us taking hold of what He has given us. That makes sense? God's going to put you in the middle of battles that you didn't ask for. But He's not doing it to discourage you. He's not doing it to see you be defeated. He wants us to respond on the basis of this word. That's what the wilderness was about, to teach people that man didn't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. God has a way of lifting these words off of the pages of this book and applying them to our lives in critical areas, times of need. How many of you know that? How many of you experienced that? God knows how to speak if we have ears to listen. God, give us those ears. But help us to understand what the Christian life is about. There's going to be a fighting, and it's not just defensive fighting. God is going to set things before us. Now, if some of them are virtues that we lack and we need, and we're going to have to go to God and say, God, I can't handle this situation. I get mad every time this happens. And I need you to come in and fill me and give me the kind of patience and love and forgiveness and whatever's needed. I need you to be in me what I need. Sometimes it's going to be doing something, because God has not called us just to live for ourselves, but to be channels of his life to one another. We are so full of trying to survive spiritually, we can't even do that half the time. May God give us the grace to learn how to take everything to him and say, God, I need you today. I need you every hour. I need you, Father, as much as your Son needed you to do what he did. And of the Son, it says he learned obedience. How did he learn that? By the things that he suffered. And as a result of that, he became the author of eternal salvation. Praise God for what he was willing to do for me, for you and for me. But this is the life to which we've been called. It's one where we're going to have to fight and take ground from the enemy that the devil does not want to give up. Our flesh doesn't want to give it up. But you know, there's another scripture that came back to me that we've used in the past from Romans 6, and I'm not going to turn over to it. But there you see the contrast between Adam's life and Christ's life. And we see this picture of how people can absolutely triumph in the spiritual realm. I guess I better turn over there. I'm going to read one of the scriptures. What did I say? Romans 6, 5. It's 5 is what I'm thinking of. All right. Okay. It talks about death reigning in verse 16, 17, somewhere in there. And how death reigned because one man sinned, all right? It says, how much more will those who receive? It's got to become mine, right? Not just out there somewhere in a bank account. How much more will those who receive what? God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness do what? Reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. So which life is stronger and more powerful? Yeah, God's life is more powerful. That's why he says at the end of this passage, well, anyway, grace is greater than sin. That's where sin increased, grace all the more. All right? So anyway, obviously, grace is greater than sin, isn't it? The power of sin to rule over us is a real power. And if we just float along and go with the flow, it's going to continue to have a stronghold in our lives more than we want to admit. But here is God calling us and saying, I've given you everything, but you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to come to times when everything is opposed to you possessing what I have given you. And you're going to have to stand up to that and say, I believe in him more than I believe in the strength of this sin. I believe in his provision. I believe in his power. I believe in the cross. I believe in what happened there. And I'm going to stand there and put my trust and my hope in what God has said and what he has provided for me. It's mine and I will have it. There's a holy boldness that God wants from his people, not based upon a selfish spirit, but upon saying, I will not give in to this sin nature that wants to have dominion over me. Jesus has made provision at the cross that I can have him and have life more abundantly. And I'm going to take this circumstance right now that I'm facing, this issue, maybe nobody even knows about it, but it's the way I feel about something, the response that I have. I need grace. I need to be changed. I need a measure of that life of God to come in right here and give me the strength that I do not possess to take dominion over this thing and say, I will not be how you want me to be, devil. I am his. I'm going to glorify God in this body and in this spirit, which are his. Praise God. I don't know, this is kind of meandered around this morning, and I just trust the Lord with it, but how many of you need him? How many of you need more? Does this make any sense this morning? God has everything you need. Wherever you're at, wherever I'm at, he's got it. Is there anything that's lacking? Is his power not enough? So where is the problem? Where is the lack? Are we really taking hold? See, that's what Paul said. I press forward. And he talked about pressing to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Has Christ taken hold of you? Yeah, he had something in mind, didn't he? In doing that, he said, I've taken hold of you. Now there's something out there. I want you to take hold. This is how your life is going to grow. This is how you're going to become like me. You're going to have to put forth some effort here. You're going to have to exercise some real faith in me, not in you and your weakness. Your faith in my power to deliver is going to have to become greater than your faith in all that's wrong and all that's lacking. And then, you know, if we're asleep, God wake us up. God help us to realize the hour in which we live. And I confess my need. I confess, I believe I'm not the only one. Maybe that's why the Lord has let me wander around this and think about it and wish somebody else would get up and preach, to be truthful with you. But how many of you think this is what we need? How many of you think that he's telling us this to make us feel bad and condemn us and hold us down? No, it's because he has paid an incredible price to open up a stream where he can share his life with us. That life is the only thing that can empower us to be any different than anybody else in this world. But it doesn't all come in at once. I need to drink that in, just like the people of the world are drinking in the spirit that's in the world, or that we eat food to sustain our flesh. I need his spirit. I need to spend time with him. I need to believe him. I need to exercise his word. I need to worship. All the things that the scripture tells us to do. Ask, seek, and knock. All those things coming to him. But coming with an expectant heart instead of saying, oh well, forgive me, I messed up again. God wants to take us beyond messing up again and give us the strength to be victorious. And the more he's able to work in us, the more he's going to be able to work through us. And he'll be able to give us things to do, and it will be him doing it through us and not us. You don't need me. You need him. And we don't need each other in a natural sense. We need the Christ that lives in one another. And he is absolutely working to bring us to that place. But there's no way around this. We're going to have to set ourselves to seek after something. That seeking after, that motivation, that basic thing that motivates us to as to what we do and why we do it, is going to drive us to have to fight through a lot of opposition, but we're fighting to lay hold of something. This is not a matter of having to fight the bank teller to get your money. That part doesn't work like that. But there is opposition that will try to keep you from going into the bank. And God wants us to say, wait a minute, I believe him more than I believe all of this opposition. It is mine and I will have it. And you think of somebody like Caleb, who had that kind of a spirit, that when the time came, he says, give me my mountain. And he went into a particularly difficult area as an 85-year-old man and chased the giants out because God was with him. He didn't do this presumptuously. He did it because God had promised, and he went in based upon that promise, actively trusting in God. God gave him the victory, and later on, he had stuff that he could share with other people. Do you see the picture of what God is wanting for us right now? If we're asleep, help us to wake up, Lord. If we're just yielding to something that has been there all of our lives, God help us to to do something about it. To say, Lord, you didn't save me just to leave me like I am. You saved me so that you could fill me and change me. And yours is the only resource, Lord. Give me the strength to fight when I don't even feel like fighting. I'm too tired. Lord, you're going to have to strengthen me so I can even do this. You know, I mentioned it being sounding exhausting. Well, it is if we're thinking I've got to somehow do it in my own strength. But Lord, we can come to you and say, you told us those who wait on you will do what? Renew their strength. And then all the things that flow from that. Well, I'll just put this out there and let the Lord do with it what he will. But I just pray that God will burn these truths. That the motivation in life is to obtain the virtues, the things that come from his life living in us and expressing itself through us. We realize there's a battle to do that. We're going to have to fight actively. And if we don't, if we coast, instead of climbing, we're going to be sliding back. And not even realize it many times. And we're going to realize that what God has laid up for us does, in fact, belong to us. Oh, the devil will give you 1,001 reasons why, oh, this just isn't for you. This is for the special ones. You're just too bad. Look at your track record. Praise God, every one of us has got a bad track record, if you want to go by that. Every one of us has needs. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why he who spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? I need some of those all things today, don't you? But I believe God is faithful and God is encouraging us to whatever the issue is in your life, whatever battle he puts you in right now, you have every right to go to God about it. Say, Lord, here's the situation. I feel this way. I can't handle this. My nature wants to drive me in this direction. I need more of you right now, Lord. Pour your life into me so that I can be the person you want me to be. There's no other way, Lord. And God's going to put the battles there because he wants to bring us to defeat, because he wants to share his victory with us. Praise God. To God be the glory.